My guest at this time is former U.S. Attorney General Edwin Meese. He also served as counselor to President Reagan and chief of staff when Reagan was governor of California. We've asked him to join us today to reflect on the life and legacy of former First Lady Nancy Reagan, who died Sunday at the age of 94. And Mr. Meese, it's an honor to speak with you, sir. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you. It's good to be with you and your listeners.
How did you first meet Nancy Reagan?
I first met Nancy back in 1967, just after Ronald Reagan had asked me to serve as his legal affairs secretary when he became governor of California. And it wasn't long after that that I met Nancy and, did a lot of traveling in which she was part of the group, have been at the house there in California many times, and, of course, very close in the White House as well.
What was she like in private?
She was a very gracious person. She was a great hostess. She was always looking out for the people that were around the president and for the president himself. And certainly it was obvious that they were very much in love with each other, and she was certainly a great source of strength and support to him throughout his entire political career, and I'm sure before that.
Let's dig into that a little bit, because obviously much has been made about their great love relationship for better than 52 years and her ongoing care for his legacy. And how would you describe their relationship, both personal and political?
Well, I would say on the personal basis, as I say, they were very much in love. They were an ideal couple. They did everything possible together. They were together every possible minute of the time that they could be. And Ronald Reagan's idea of a good evening was to come home to Nancy to have dinner together. Then he would work a little bit in the evening. It was just the idea of being with her that was so important to him. So I think that aspect of their life, the great times that he had were weekends when he could get to Camp David. He and Nancy would go horseback riding up there. Or even better than that was in the summer, or at one of the vacation times, at Thanksgiving perhaps, or in the springtime, when they would get to the ranch together. And of course, after he left the presidency, they spent a lot of time together at the ranch, as well as doing other things with friends and so on. But it was a great relationship.
One of the things we know for sure about President Reagan is how much and how strongly he believed in what the American people could accomplish. How important was it to Reagan, and how much Nancy strongly believed in what he could do?
Well, I think she was a great believer in him. He did, as you say, have a great belief on what could be done for the people of America and by the people of America. And she was staunch in her belief in him, and I think in a sense reflected his own views, because that's what she was interested in, supporting him. And so I think that she had had similar views to him on most topics. On occasion, they would differ on a particular subject, usually on some minor aspect of how to go about something. But she would always obviously defer to him, and he would ultimately make those decisions. But together, I would say they were very much on the same wavelength on virtually everything.
When you look at the Reagan presidency, there were some stories, folks like Don Regan, of course, got frustrated that Nancy wanted to be kept in the loop, and other folks like Mike Deaver said she's not trying to be nosy, she just is interested in what's going on, and as long as you pay respect to Nancy and don't try to stiff-arm her, that things are going to go fine. What was your experience and what she expected from the staff in respect to her being in the loop communication-wise?
Well, I always had a great relationship with her, both in the governor's office and in the White House and in the presidency when I was a justice. And I would say this, Nancy Reagan did not interfere with policy. I've never had a situation where that was true. What she was interested in was making sure that the governor and then later on the president got enough rest, that the travel arrangements were able to afford him the chance to be at his best. Those kinds of things. So she was interested in more in details of schedule and events than anything other than that.
Did you notice a major shift in how she approached things following the assassination attempt?
Well, I think that she was obviously shocked, as we all were, by the assassination attempt. And so I would say she was, if anything, she's always been protective of him, obviously, and that was part of her support. But I would say beyond that, after which he was aware of the security considerations, but I would say not in to the extent that it ever interfered with what he had to do.
One of the things she's best remembered for as First Lady of the United States, of course, is her efforts to keep kids off drugs, the Just Say No campaign. Talk a little bit about how passionate she was about that and how that came to be such a critical issue for her.
Well, that's an illustration, I think, of how much she cared not only about the president, but also about the people of the country and about the direction in which our nation was going. And so that's why when Ronald Reagan took on the effort against drugs in the 1980s, which was a serious, probably one of our most serious domestic problems, she went wholeheartedly into assisting in that with her Just Say No program. And that was tremendous in talking with young people particularly, but also with others, college groups, high school groups, older adults. But it really made an impact. And together, the president and Nancy, and those of us who were involved really had tremendous success with reducing drug abuse in the United States by over 50% in a 10-year period from 1982 to 1992. And so I think that her efforts there was one of her finest hours.
When you think of her 8 years in Washington, is it that campaign? Is it her steadfast support of her husband? What do you think defines her 8 years more than anything as First Lady?
Well, I think both of those things. I think, first of all, the support and encouragement she gave to her husband, the love that sustained him, but then also the fact that she was very much interested in what was going on in the sense of how she could be helpful in something that he felt was very important, such as the anti-drug campaign. She was also interested, for example, in their foreign trips and making a good impression on the people there. She dealt with the wives of many of the foreign leaders in a very classy and dignified manner. So overall, I think her desire was to be the best possible helpmate, but also the best possible example of the United States, whatever she did.
The media, of course, during her 8 years in Washington was not always the kindest. They talked about her clothes. They talked about the China and so forth. But it's obvious from the Reagan years, certainly the public reaction when the president passed away, and I'm sure it'll be the same here in the coming days, that the people did not see her as some sort of elitist. They absolutely adored the Reagans. What do you think the people saw that the Washington crowd did not?
Well, I think that some of the Washington crowd, and it certainly was only some, because many of the people here, even people like Catherine Graham, who was the publisher of the Washington Post, had a good personal relationship with her, as did many others. But there were those who, for either political reasons or because of some other animosity, you might say, towards what Ronald Reagan was trying to do, they couldn't get to him. Because he was such an optimistic person, I think they tried in some cases to take it out on Nancy and perhaps some of the rest of the people that were around him.
Last topic, as we're just about out of time, Mr. Attorney General, of course, in addition to Nancy's very public roles as First Lady of California and First Lady of the United States, perhaps the greatest admiration for her comes from the last couple of decades, ever since the president announced in late 1994 that he was suffering from Alzheimer's disease, and then the 10-year battle that they quietly waged together while she very publicly advocated for Alzheimer's research and other causes related to that. I don't think anybody was overly surprised at how devoted she was during that time, but what did you witness during that time, and what does that episode tell us about her character?
Well, I think what it showed us was a continuation of what a tremendous person she was, how much she loved her husband, and the fact that she totally devoted every minute of her life to taking care of the president during that period of time. And also, she was very instrumental in making sure that the president's legacy was followed, being with the work that she did for the president's library as a memorial to him, as well as making sure that the president's branch, which he loved so much, was in proper hands to preserve that as a monument to Ronald Reagan and to illustrate the simple lifestyle that he really enjoyed. As the owner of a ranch and as a person who liked to go horseback riding with her more than almost anything else.
What's it like for you today, Mr. Meese, these two people who had such a profound impact on your life now that both are gone?
Well, obviously, we miss them both. And I think the nice thing about it is to have recollections of how much they both did for our country, and also great memories of the opportunity to have been with them really over a period of about 30 years.
Sir, it's an honor to speak with you. And again, we're sending our condolences to you and so many others that cared for the Reagans so deeply. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Former U.S. Attorney General Edwin Meese, he also served as counselor to President Reagan, and before that, chief of staff to California Governor Ronald Reagan. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.